We're beginning today a series of messages called Short Sermons. It is separate from our Hebrews 2020 series, but sometimes it may correlate with it. Short sermons are not intended to make a complete case, but merely to make a point. Each one is presented with the hope that grace will be served to the readers and listeners, and that God would open the hearts to be attentive to the truth of the scriptures, which are the testimony of Jesus Christ, who yesterday, today, and forever is full of grace and truth. Short sermon number one, in the form of a question: the God of anger, the God of anger. It is profitable to confront a serious problem of our own time, namely the terrifying expectation that millions have of a fiery hell that awaits or comes up to meet sinners at their death. There are multitudes of human souls who live either in abject terror or with a desperately subdued, terrifying expectation with regard to an eternal hell of fire after death, which, according to the unbelief of religion, awaits countless millions of human beings because of an angry God, the God of anger, we might call him. Revivalists and religionists of all kinds, and many religions and philosophies for that matter, including the religion sometimes called Christianity, proclaim or at least hold the tenet of an endless and hopeless afterlife for countless human beings, one that includes fire. This tenet is held, in some cases, so that people with so-called teaching authority can manipulate their devotees into loyalty to a denomination, to continuity in attending church, to tithing or simply towing the line of a group, a church, a mosque, or a temple. These are the men who lie in wait to deceive, as Paul calls them in Ephesians 4:14. This tenet of doctrine, which is a doctrine of men and not of God, espouses a God of anger who can't be found in the pages of the Bible. The God of the Bible is variously called the God of peace, Hebrews 13:20, the God of peace and love, 2 Corinthians 13:11, the God of all grace, 1 Peter 5:10, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 1:3, Ephesians 1:3, 1 Peter 1:3, our Father, Matthew 6:9, our God and Father, Philippians 4:20, the Father of mercies, 2 Corinthians 1:3, the God of all comfort, also 2 Corinthians 1:3, the Father of lights, James 1:17, the Father of spirits, Hebrews 12:9. The God of the living, to whom all are alive, Luke 20:37 to 38. The living God, Hebrews 3:12, 9:14. The living God who gives life to all, 1 Timothy 6:13, and who makes all alive in Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:22, whom Jesus called my God and your God. Never is God called the God of anger. It is true that God expresses a kind of anger from time to time, wrath it's called, and for a little time each time. But even this is an anger that is true to the divine and not the human nature, or to the anger of man, which can never accomplish the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God in James 1:20 and Romans 1:17 is equated with salvation or the saving act of God. God's anger nor man's anger did not achieve that, but the love of God achieved that in Christ Jesus. Jesus, himself God and man through his incarnation, showed this anger once in Mark 3:5. But even then, it was anger mixed with sorrow at the hardness of heart of certain members of a synagogue where he received the man with the withered hand and restored his hand right in the midst of these men. Whenever God threatened or expressed his anger, it was very often said that the Lord's anger burned. Exodus 4:14, Exodus 22:24, 32:10, Numbers 11:39, make that 11:33 and 12:9. And dozens of other times, in fact, in the Pentateuch, in Joshua, Job, the Psalms, and prophets. It even says in Psalm 2:5 that God speaks in his anger to the nations who rebel against him and who rebel against his anointed son, and that he terrifies them. But with the scores of references to God burning in his anger, being provoked to anger by people, he is never said to be the God of anger. And therefore, he is not defined by that characteristic. In fact, when God actually proclaimed himself as he paraded his glory with his back turned to Moses, he says, proclaiming himself, "Yahweh, Yahweh is a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and rich in faithful love and truth." Exodus 34:6. In Jeremiah 3:12, Yahweh, the God of Israel, commanded his prophet Jeremiah, "Return, unfaithful Israel. This is what the Lord says. I will not look on you with anger, for I am unfailing in my love. This is what the Lord says. I will not be angry forever." And in Psalm 30, in verse 5, "His anger lasts only a moment, but his favor a lifetime." That could also be interpreted, his grace forever. We know from Psalm 136, 26 times, that his mercy, the Hebrew word chesed, which is basically equivalent to the Greek charis for grace, endures forever, 26 times. There would be an eternal hell, someone may argue, only if God's anger lasted forever. It doesn't. But he loves with everlasting love, says Jeremiah 31:3. Look up and find 100 verses on God's anger, but you will never hear of God as the God of anger. God who burns in his anger, God who is provoked to anger, and he even acts from time to time in his anger, is still the God of love. God is love. 1 John 4:8, 4:16. He kills to make alive. He strikes that he may heal. Deuteronomy 32:39. Job 5:18, he chastens his children that they may come to experience the peaceable fruit of righteousness, says Hebrews 12:11. Even of apostate and constantly unrepentant Israel, God says in Hosea 14:4, "I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them." God does not hold on to his anger forever because he delights in faithful love, says Micah 7:18. If God did hold on to his anger forever, And if he did not delight in his faithful, steadfast love, then perhaps one could have reason to fear an endless punishment. In the final mention of God's anger in the Old Testament, he speaks of his anger against the shepherds in Zechariah 10:3. Even today, it could be said that God is angry with the shepherds who scare their flocks, or the evangelists, so-called, who testify and terrify their audiences with the threat of eternal hellfire. God's anger burned in AD 70 in the destruction of apostate Jerusalem, the Jerusalem of Paul's day, of Jesus' day, the Jerusalem of the Second Temple. But that anger did not burn on forever. Our God is a consuming fire, it's true, says Hebrews 12:29, but not a consuming fire of anger, but of love. Love's flames are fiery flames, the fiercest of all, says Song of Solomon 8:6. The terrifying expectation of an eternal divine anger for any human being, however evil, is not a valid expectation. But if we insist, and if we persist in our stubborn religious pride, we may well consider it a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, says Hebrews 10:31. The God who not only lives, but who also resists the proud, James 4:6. God is called the living God, not the angry God. Even in the seemingly dire declaration, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But even the anger of God, which in reality may be said to be eternal only when directed to sin, was already born and exhausted in Jesus, the one who knew no sin and was willingly made to be sin so that the world would be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:19 and 5:21. God has often expressed his righteous anger, but always to fulfill his righteous and ultimately saving purpose. To say that God loves and to say that God expresses anger are both true, but not equally true. These two truths cannot weigh the same on the balances of the scripture and on the balances of divine revelation. To say that they do is a false balance, and a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, according to Proverbs 11:1. And so ends the first short sermon in our series called Short Sermons.